adults if I had junior church up here. A little puppet show. I don't care how old you are. People like puppet shows. Yeah, I don't care how old you get to be. Yeah. So. You know, there are some Wednesdays you guys won't make a peep, and other Wednesdays I just can't, just like constantly. So, anyway. All right, Ruth chapter 1. I want to read this, the first six verses to you, and I want to just teach or preach or something tonight, whatever happens, happens. A message I've entitled Visited by God. I was asked to preach over in chapel in Elgin a few weeks ago, and I preached a message I preached before here at our church out of Ruth chapter 1. And as I was preaching, I seen something here that spoke to my heart. And I wanted to preach it this evening. But if you look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, it says, and many of you know the story, so I won't spend a lot of time on going into a lot of the details of Ruth, because you all are mature Christians here and you've read your Bible and you know the events of Ruth. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, for a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the women were left of her two sons and her husband. Here's a text verse I want to focus on tonight. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. Watch it now. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Again, I want to teach tonight on visited by God. Father, we come tonight. Thank you, Lord, for our church. What a blessing, Lord, it has been to pastor here. And Lord, I'm looking forward to many more great years together. Lord, I pray that you would continue, Lord, to bind our hearts together as a church family. I pray, God, that you'd add to our church. Lord, I pray that you'd use our church in such a way, Lord, that make a difference in our community. And the testimony would have to be among everyone that God did that. Lord, I'm thankful for our families who've been faithful for many years. Father, for the things you've allowed us to do. May we not be weary and well doing, but may we press forward, Father. Lord, to raise another generation, Father, for the cause of Christ and to see also people saved. Lord, I pray for a lot of lost loved ones, Lord, represented in this room tonight, a lot of family members that we have that we'd like to see saved and lives changed and turned around. And Lord, I pray that you give us a small part, Lord, in that, in those salvations, Father. Help us now tonight, we pray. May your power be upon this place, we ask in your name. Amen. I want you to notice a few things, verse number one, as far as the introduction is concerned. But my theme will be tonight is the best thing people can hear about the church is the Lord has visited his people and giving them bread. And that'll make more sense to you as I go along here. But we find the setting that takes place here. We find in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, it says, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. So we know this is right after or during the time of the judges, which is the book prior to this. There was no king. And the Lord have left off using prophets so much and used the judges, of course. And in the days of the judges, according to Judges 21:25, we find that in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. So we had a problem here. We have everybody doing what they think is right for themselves. And they were using their liberty that they had, but it was unrestrained liberty. And so we find that Israel was always up and down. They would serve God for a short time, and then they would go after other false gods and idols. God would deliver them in the hands of their enemy, and then they would cry and complain, and they would cry out to God for mercy. God sent them a judge, raised them a judge to help deliver them. And so back and forth this went for several years. Because everyone did that which is right in their own eyes. This liberty did not bring them life and prosperity, but it brought them bondage, brought them death. Oftentimes we think that liberty brings us prosperity and life, but when it's unrestrained, really it brings death and it brings bondage.
so this is the current thought of our American culture, in our American politics, and oftentimes in our American churches, that we need to do what's right in our own eyes. Anything you want to do is up to you and your own ideas. He can do anything you want to do, but don't preach righteousness. That's where it's come down to. But that never brings liberty, never brings prosperity, never brings happiness. It always, unrestrained liberty will always bring bondage and unhappiness and death. We see because of the way they lived that God began to chasten them. We find in verse number 1, it says, and there was a famine in the land. I don't believe that any of those things ever happened by accident. I don't believe that any natural disaster that we call Mother Nature ever happens by accident. I think that God's in control of all of that. I think that when we see a tornado, when we see snowstorms, when we see earthquakes and all these things, it's all in the hands of God. And God can use it for whatever reason He wants to. But I oftentimes wonder if God doesn't use it to chasten people. And so we have in our own country, in our own recent history, some great things, great tragedies of natural disasters that God uses the weather. And I often wonder, is it because of the wickedness of man that God allows those things to happen? And so there's a famine because of the way they were living. And unrestrained liberty always ends in God's chastisement as well. So our liberty is to be restrained by the love of Christ. And we find in Galatians 5:13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. And we thank God for that. We all have soul liberty. You answer for yourself. But it says this, only use not liberty for occasions of the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so our liberty is not to be used to justify our own means, our own ends of what we want to do. Our liberty is to be used, according to Scripture, our liberty is to be used to love one another and serve God with. And so there's a famine because of their lifestyle. Fleshly living always results in begging for scraps. I like what David said. I've been young and now I'm old. I never see the righteous begging for bread. And I believe that when you live fleshly, it will always leave you begging for the scraps. And so we find that in verse number 1, because of this famine in the land now, a certain man went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Now again, Bethlehem, Judea means the house of bread, and Moab means God's wash pot. And so they leave the house of bread to go down to Moab, God's wash pot. And so I find, and I wrote down this, that first of all, that oftentimes men, if we're not careful, we don't appreciate the blessings that we have until they become scarce. You'd be surprised tonight the blessings that we have as people in our country, in our homes, and in this church, by the way. But we don't appreciate those things. Oftentimes they become very scarce. And so now we find that because this bread is scarce, that they once had in abundance, now they're willing to go for a counterfeit. And I find that's our nature as people. Our nature as people, when the true blessings of God become scarce, if we're not careful with our attitude and our heart's condition, we are quick to run to a country like Moab to find a counterfeit. But counterfeits never end in life. The counterfeit will always end in death. We find that Elimelech and Naomi went down into Bethlehem, down to Moab, just to sojourn there for a short time, and they rushed to account to find a counterfeit. And the counterfeit could not sustain their life. We find in verse number three, that Naomi's husband Elimelech died. She was left just her and her two sons. They went down there thinking that they were going to find something to sustain their life. We find that in just a few years that both sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they both marry. And within 10 years, they both are dead. Now, we can say this tonight, often, and I'm not, a lot of times things happen to people, and if we're not careful as preachers, we say, well, God just spanking them. Well, we always don't know, but I do know this, they died outside of God's will. They died outside of where God wanted them to be, where they were supposed to be. Now, if everything that happened to us, I'm just a little careful because, if something bad happens to somebody and say, well, God's spanking them. Well, God should be spanking all of us then because there'd be a reason for that all the time. But I am saying tonight that I can't say for sure if this is God's chastisement, but I can say with authority, all three of them died outside of God's will, where God wanted them to be. We find then in chapter 1 that Even Ruth, Naomi, when she goes back to Bethlehem after 10 plus years of being in Moab, she goes back to Bethlehem, and the people were amazed at how she looked. Her appearance staggered them, and they said, "Is this Naomi? Is that you, Naomi?" And she said, "Don't call me Naomi." At the end of chapter 1, she said, "Call me Mara. Call me bitter. I'm angry. I'm bitter with God because I went out full, and I'm coming back empty." So she went out thinking that she was hungry, really when she was full, and she came back totally empty. And so we find here that the counterfeit of life, the counterfeit of the gospel, the counterfeit of what God has cannot sustain life. And so tonight I want to encourage you that no matter where you're at in life, don't ever chase counterfeits. You can be sideways with somebody in the church house. You can be mad at God. You can be bitter. But if you chase counterfeits, it'll never sustain life. It just won't do it. And so we find here, excuse me, I want to show you tonight a lesson to learn from this chapter. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for a moment. If you just get a piece, get a water, put it in the pulpit, I'll quit coughing, probably. Yeah, I don't know where that one's been. Well, I know where that one's been. I'm going to give you tonight just 2 points, this lesson. But don't get too excited because each point has a few sub-points, but I won't tarry too long on each one. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." Now, he's talking to the whole church at Corinth. And I've entitled this point, "The Sojourning to Loss." This whole church, not this one family, like Elimelech and Naomi, this whole church got sideways. This whole church was a mess. And it says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For what one saith, I am of Paul and of Paul, thank you, and of Apollos, are ye not carnal? And by the way, I did get chewed up when I got home Sunday, so if that might make a couple of you might happy of what not to say from the pulpit. So I told my wife I'm going to, from now on, be a gentleman in the pulpit and try not to embarrass my family too much. Here's the whole gift, just the gist of the message this evening. I'm intrigued that what prompted Naomi to go back to Bethlehem, Judea, is she heard that God had visited the house of bread again, the house of Israel with bread again. She'd heard that. And so tonight, I'm thinking about tonight, our church. I'm thinking about churches across America. I'm thinking about what needs to happen to see people saved and backsliders come rescued. And I'm finding tonight, first of all, I want to say that as I compare Elimelech and Naomi with the church, we find the sojourning to loss. They left Bethlehem. They left the house of bread. They left it to their loss. They didn't gain in Moab. They lost. They suffered loss. And I find in the book of 1 Corinthians, I find a church that is sojourning outside of God's will. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians, that church had a lot of problems. And God didn't say shut it down, nor did God say leave it. God said fix it. God said, listen, you haven't come behind any small gift. You have all that you need, and you're a blessed people, and I love you, and now just get things right. So I wanted to show you something tonight, but the church at Corinth, their sojourning brought them out of God's will. Let me just give you a few thoughts about that. The church can be divided by discord. And I'm not going to take long. We can read a million scriptures tonight, but I just want to point out a few things and get to the main gist. A church can be divided by discord. Again, Elimelech and Naomi left Bethlehem, Judea for Moab because they thought there was problems in Bethlehem. We were going through a famine. We were having troubles. We're going to go down here and going to sojourn here in outside of God's will to find help. And sometimes the church is that way as well. If we're not careful, we leave God's will and trying to find, well, this is, we're going to get some help. All right? And so a church can be divided by discord, problems among the brethren. And we can look at verses in the Bible, Proverbs and 1 John and many others of how that discord, that God loves unity. And that a church is supposed to be together in unity. We're to bear one another's burdens, that we're part of the same body of Christ. We have gifts that God has given to us to help one another. We're to love, if we love God and God loves us, we're to love those that are also born of God. God says that the person that sows discord is an abomination to God. And so discord in the church house, God frowns upon. God handles seriously. We find that a church can be distracted by discomfort. Sometimes I evaluate things, and it's amazing if we're not careful how that small things captivate our time. Small battles that mean nothing in the long run. It's amazing the battles that I have gone into that really mean nothing in the long run. And if I could tell you the phone calls that I received for the week of people, certain things they complain about or tell me about, I don't want to embarrass anybody because I love our church, but really at the end of the day, there are small, petty problems that mean nothing in the scheme of eternity or seeing somebody saved. No, I'm there to, I want to be a great pastor and I want to handle things rightly. But it's amazing that everybody barks to me about Matthew 18 and tell us them to handle it. If I'm not doing Matthew 18 right, boy, people are like, Matthew 18, preacher. But when it comes to them, handle it that way. I don't need to know your petty problems until you can't solve it. Does that make sense? I'm not barking at anybody. Well, sometimes I get called when I'm not even in the loop. And if the problem's solved, don't involve me. Let it die. Let it die. Well, when do we get you involved? When it becomes a church issue. That's what I think. Right. And by the way, listen, you ladies and you men that handle things according to the Scripture, when it's handled, then drop it. Don't go tell anybody else. Right. Some of you men are worse than women. A problem happens, you go tell all the men in the church. Shut up. You see, a church can get disillusioned or distracted by discomfort. And we fight all these small little battles. It's the small foxes that spoil the vines. When should I worry? When bears come. Then let's get excited. When the foxes come, hey, shoot the little sucker and move on. Just move on. It's fine. I'm going to cry over a fox. No, I hope that makes sense. Listen, by the way, well, who are you talking to? Well, if I hit your doorstep and it rang your bell, then take it and do something with it. If not, then let's move on. Okay, I'll go to the next point then. The church I must have parked right there too long. The church can be disillusioned by drama. You know what scares people away? When there's always a problem in the church house. You know why some of our young folks don't come back? They're tired of our problems as adults. It's like somehow we never left the nursery. We're still fighting over whose toy belongs to who. And really, you say, preacher, that you're making it petty. I'm telling you, but when you weigh out at the end of the day, that's what it basically is. That was my toy, and you took it. And a lot of times, I'm not excusing young people for living worldly. Some of our young folks have left our churches, and they live as worldly as the devil lives. But I'm saying that shouldn't be a weapon they can use against us. I'm just tired of all the drama in church house. There doesn't need to be any drama in the church house. How about the church can be debilitated by depravity? Just folks living carnal. You know, the Bible does say in the book of Ephesians 5, that there are some things that should not be named once among you. Remember that now. Well, preacher, we're just people. We're born again people. And God said there's a few things that you got saved from that should not be once named among you as a church or as Christians. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, we're just as guilty as the unsaved for the same sins that in the world is the same sins in the house of God. So there are some things that God says, listen, in the church house, it shouldn't even be named once among you. Not one time. So don't tell us that, well, we're just people, we have problems. Yeah, but we're supposed to live in the new, and we're supposed to live as new creatures and not as the old man. So there's my little rant. Did you survive? We're all downhill from there then. Okay, here we go. I'm really not, don't listen. Now don't go home like, wow, preacher was mad. I'm not even mad. Here I am. I don't even know it. You don't even know you're mad. Here's what I find. Notice with me, so we find here the sojourning to loss. A church can get sideways and get out of God's will. By the way, a church as a whole. Just that you drag your demons in here, it impacts this church service. You drag, listen, if I drag my sin and you drag your sin in here, it's going to mess with the whole service. We have this idea, well, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, it does hurt everybody. Impacts the entire body of Christ. Now, you don't have to sit there and you can ignore me tonight if you want to, and you put your head down, but you can, we're not praying yet, so might as well look up here and take it. This is serious business. If I wasn't serious about pastoring, I'd go do something else. I'd feel like a cheat and a crook if I didn't think it was a serious business. Well, I believe every time I get in the pulpit, I'm preaching for life and death. And I may not be a great preacher, but I think I'm preaching for life and death. I think that when Tom goes downstairs to preach Acts and Teens, he's preaching for life and death. If he didn't think that way, I'd take him out and put somebody else in there. I think when you teach Sunday school class, it'll be, this is life and death matters. If you're a teacher that don't believe that, then resign and let somebody else get in there and do it. So let me move on to happy. Quit looking at me that way, and I'm going to some happier things. I really want to be an encouragement to you tonight. Now watch this. Here's why I find a blessing. I meant this to be a blessing and not a scolding. Because when I saw this, I thought, wow, this is neat. Notice it would be the substance of life. What draws back backsliders? What draws back sinners? Here we have Naomi. She's in the midst of 10 years backslidden. My wife and I, my wife followed me into being backslidden. She went kicking and screaming. She didn't want to backslide. She didn't want to leave church. She went kicking and screaming. And I think a good one should do that. Listen, if your husband drags you out of church, ma'am, do it protesting. Don't go willingly. Do it protesting. Sir, if your wife tries to drag you out of church, divorce her and put her away. No, privately. Do it kicking and screaming. All right? My wife is a jewel to me. See, you may not like her. I love her. She's a jewel to me. She's a great, great wife. You say, well, she's not a good sister pastor. That's good. That's a good thing. A good thing. I remember just a couple of examples. I remember when I was backslidden, I told her, I said, you know, you can wear pants now. I kind of wanted to see her in blue jeans, you know. And she goes, I didn't quit wearing pants for you. I made a commitment to God. She said, I don't care how long I went out of church. I'm still serving God. Talk about smote my heart. And then we got sideways. I got sideways a little bit in Independence. I was there with Pastor Mace. We were there for a couple years, and some things happened. A big blowout happened. It was ugly. And I just thought, you know what? I'm not going through this all again. And I said, let's go to a different church. And so we went a couple different times, but we didn't sign a thing we liked. And so I stayed home for a couple weeks, and she's like, she came to me one Sunday morning. She says, well, you can lay in bed if you want to. I'm going to church. Well, what are you going to do with that? Let your wife go without you? It happened one Sunday morning, and then Sunday night, it's like, okay, you embarrassed me enough. I'm going to go back with you. Consider myself spanked, you know. Now, again, some of you might judge me for those stories. I'm just being transparent, just being human. And, you know, I put my pants on just like you do and learn the hard way some things. And that's sometimes why I preach the way I preach and preach as hard as I preach, because there's no sense of two people making the same mistakes twice. Right? Okay, they call that stupidity, okay? And so just let me be stupid for you. You be smart, okay? Bypass what I've went through. And where was I? Oh, I don't know either. Now watch this. Watch this. Backslidden for 10 years. We were backslidden for 2 years. You know how hard it was after 2 years of not going to church? To go back to church? 2 years not going to church one time. She's been out of the house of God for 10 years. But what brought her back? She heard a guy that visited the church house, and they were eating bread again. They were eating bread again. You know, when I was out of church, somebody asked me the other day about it. When I was out of church, and we lived in Indiana, and we hadn't gone for a long time. And somebody came by, and they heard it. You know, when you leave High Isles Anderson College, did they ever ask you why you left? They just label you as quitters. You quit. You know, they don't care about why you left or what happened. All of a sudden, you just become quitters, you know. And then you become like Amish. You become shunned. You know, so I've been shunned many times in my life, you know, by my family and by better people than my family. And so these guys would come by, these High Isles guys would come by and chew us out. Hey, Brother Mass, you know you're out of God's will. You know where you should be. Did we visit their church? Not once. Not one time did we visit their church. I don't need to be chewed out by you yard bird, you know. And we had this one old guy. His name was Russell Overla. He was in his 60s. He used to come by, and he'd just come by, and he'd preach to us a little bit just tenderly. He'd get the Bible out, and I said, listen, I don't care what anybody says. The Bible is the authority. The Bible has conviction power. So he'd get the Bible out and read us the Bible a little bit. Then he'd say, Brother Mass, you know, I love you and I care for you and your family. Just want to pray for you. But you ought to be in church. You know that, don't you, buddy? Just tenderly and carefully. But he brought the Bible out. And he came about two or three times, about the third or fourth time. We went and visited his church. Got going again. Amen. Got going again. Amen. Because we had heard and seen that God was still feeding his people. Hey, you know what the world needs? You know, in Dubuque and in all these areas, in Key West and Wisconsin and Illinois and over in Epworth and Farley and Piazza, there's all kinds of people that are on church that are backslidden. You know what they need to hear? That God is feeding his people at the house of God again. They don't need to hear about drama. He says, him as Christians, we're so carnal, we scare the backslider away because all we talk about is drama. Well, the preacher, the house of God this week, or Brother so-and-so, Miss so-and-so, you know what you're doing? You're chasing the backslider, the sinner away. Why would anybody want to come to church like that? Now, by the way, let me say, I'm one for keeping drama down, but there's always problems in every church you go to. I wish we could say tonight, boy, I wish we said tonight, you know, there's going to come a time and a plateau, and I've got it all planned out, I've got it all worked out, by 2021, we're going to be problem-free. Now, if you're not here, and I'm not here, it'll work. It's got a great plan. Nobody will be here, but it'll be problem free. Just a couple of ladies who never do anything wrong around here. I want you to notice with me just real quick. Notice the substance of life. The best news that any backslider or any sinner could hear is that there's bread in the house of God again. Genesis 3:19, God said that in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. So God said that bread is a substance of life. All through the word of God, we find that that's a symbol of life. Bread is a substance of life. Now, bread is the saving substance. It's a saving substance. Genesis 47:15, the Egyptians cried out unto Joseph when Joseph was there in Egypt, give us bread. Why should we die in thy presence? And so we know that Joseph is a type of Christ as well. And so the Egyptians in their famine, that long famine, they said, listen, we're going to die. Give us some bread. It's our salvation. Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 reminds us that he's the bread of life sent down from heaven to save us. We read in Luke 22:19 and other gospel messages that Christ said, he took the bread and he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body. And so we find that the bread is a saving substance. It brings salvation to the sinner. And the world needs to hear there's bread at Old Pass Baptist Church. Listen, I take church seriously because it's the pillar and ground of truth. It's the institution that God ordained to be the light of the world, an institution for missions. It's a very serious place. And he said, preacher, I feel like my whole life is centered around God and the church. Wonderful, you made it. It ought to be centered around the church and the gospel of Christ and Jesus Christ. Everybody centers their life around somebody or something. I got friends of mine who I love dearly. Their life is centered around camping. Nothing wrong with camping. I'm not saying it's a sin. But if I was to run my life around something, it's going to be something of eternal value. I got some friends that sleep and eat and drink, snowmobiling. Their life's fixated upon that. I'd rather have my life centered around the gospel. And by the way, you leave the house of God and you leave Christ, you're going to find your life centered around something. And so we find here that Jesus Christ, they ought to hear, the world ought to hear, that at the Old Paths Baptist Church, there's been bread being given and being eaten. Bread is a saving substance. Bread is a sustaining substance. Remember when David and his mighty men came back from trying to fight against Israel with the enemy there, the Canaanites, not the Canaanites, you know what I'm talking about. And they came back and Ziklag was sacked. They took their women and children, burned the village down. So they went looking for them, and they found an Egyptian in the field, and the Egyptian about ready to die. And it says this in that passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel 30. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins when he had eaten. His spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drank any water 3 days and three nights. Christ is a sustaining bread for the believer. You know as well as I do, if you don't eat, I've not been sleeping well. Maybe that's why I get crabby easier. I'm up and down many times in the night. Could be just my age. Could be because I'm hanging around Gary too much. I don't know. Gary doesn't sleep well all the time either. I need to start going. So I need to find a truck stop I can go to for coffee at 3 o'clock in the morning. Where do you go? You don't do that anymore? A guy's smarter. And going crazy diets, try to get yourself, you know. And I've been to Ben where, you know, no more caffeine. I'm going to quit drinking coffee. Boy, for about a week, man, you don't poke the bear for a week, you know. And you try to fast. And I'm all for fasting, but boy, I tell you something, about the second or third day can be really tough, can it? And so when you don't eat physically, you get worn out, you get tired, you get ran down. But bread is a sustains life. And Jesus Christ sustains life. Man, when you get worn out and weary, you don't need to run from him, you need to run to him. We find in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, all things is all things. Preacher, I just can't be a good Christian. Yeah, you can through Christ. Preacher, I just can't get over my bitterness. Yes, you can through Christ. Preacher, I just can't forgive that person. Yes, you can through Christ, you can. Preacher, I can't knock on doors. I'm just too shy. Oh, yes, you can through Christ. Preacher, I can't get up and sing a song or preach them. Yes, you could through Christ. He sustains our Christian life. He sustains our spirit. And when you neglect him and ignore him, boy, you get awful weak and weary. We find that Jesus Christ said in John 15:5, for without me ye can do nothing. Boy, the older I get, the more I believe that. Boy, I remember as a young preacher trying to build a church and work in the flesh, thinking that somehow my personality is going to win people. And I learned later on in life, I have no personality. You know, like, oh, no wonder. Well, I've been hit and missing all these years. And you try to do things in your own flesh, it never works. You got to do it with Jesus Christ. He's a sustaining bread for the believer. Bread is a standard substance. What does that mean? Bread is universal requirement for all. All men must eat and be saved. Christ said in John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forevermore. Find that bread is a standard substance. It requires, all men require it. We find in Acts 4:2, neither is our salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so what's the backslider need to hear? There's bread at Old Paths Baptist Church. What's the sinner need to hear? Hey, there's bread at the Old Paths Baptist Church. You know, we had Carson Stanley's funeral, and I'm glad we could help them. But what they need to hear is this. There's bread down there still. There's still bread down there. Now, whether they come and eat, that's up to them. But they need to hear, there's bread down there. Now, did you hear what Pastor Mass did last week? Did you hear what Brother So-and-so did last week? Hey, Miss So-and-so caused some problems last week. They don't need to hear that garbage. They need to hear that there's a famine over there. They need to hear that there's bread being served there. Christ is there. They're eating the old past. There's blessings there. And by the way, if you can't find any blessings, then get on your knees and pray and look for some. Because I can tell you a bunch of blessings that God is doing at Old Paths Baptist Church. Now, we might be in a little bit of a downtime. We might be in this, you know, and by the way, every winter gets a little bit like this. We get a little bit crazy as Iowans. Darken them when we get up, darken before we go back to bed. Cold, can't do a lot of things, get a little bit depressed, a little discouraged. We think, oh, there's a big problem somewhere. No, it's take it easy. It's just the seasons, okay? Don't become a crazy person. Bread is a staple substance. Listen to this, Mrs. Mast. Bread is required on a daily basis. Don't give me those tortilla roll-up things, those wraps. I never thought there'd be a day I'd be guilty of eating wraps. I don't really mind them because they're better than the alternative of nothing. How long for the day back when we were married and I was skinny and my wife made homemade bread? Maybe that's why I am the way I am. I eat too much of it at once. But you must eat bread day by day as a staple substance. That reminds you of the prodigal son, Luke 15. The Bible says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants does my father have that have bread enough to eat? And I sit here in hunger. No, I'm paraphrasing that some. But the prodigal son realized in the pig pen, I need my bread day by day. It's a staple. It's a staple. The Bible says in Luke 11:3 that we should pray, give us this day. Did you get it? Luke 11:3. Give us this day our daily bread. So you must, by the way, you must eat day by day your own bread. Listen to this verse. Maybe you've heard this verse but never thought of this light. 2 Thessalonians 3:12. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ. With quietness they work and eat their own bread. Now, I understand that's talking about literally, hey, you know what? Work! I can't pay my bill. Work! Get a job! I've never seen a generation so hard to press to find a job in my life. Everybody, I'm looking for a job. Listen, I'm the dumbest guy you're going to meet in your life, bar none. Okay? If you meet anybody dumber than me, let me know. He's probably related to me. Okay, probably a twin or something. But, I've been married 28 years. Never done a job more than 2 or 3 days. Never. Now, I'm not bragging about me. I'm just saying that God provides. You just got to go knock on doors and be willing to do whatever it takes. I mean, if it's roofing, if it's driving a school bus, if it's sweeping the floor, whatever, being a garbage man, it doesn't matter. God said, listen, work with your own hands and eat your own bread. That means this, Tom can't eat for me. I ain't going to get full through Tom eating my bread. And I'm not going to get spiritually strong by somebody else eating for me. I got to eat my own bread. You know why some people don't get blessed? You know why some folks don't see blessings at Old Pentecostal Church? They're not eating their own bread. You're too easy poking nose somebody else's meal. I like Brother Victor. Brother Victor is kind of, he's a weird dude. That, you know, Brother Urban, you can mess with Brother Urban's food. He'll joke around a little bit with that way. But I think like Brother Victor and Tom Porter, you mess with their food, you like to come back with no fingers, no digits. Just don't mess with their food. He just gets weird that way. Jonas, same way. Jonas, if you touch his food, he'll give you the entire plate. You can have it. So, depending on what he has, I'm messing. Several months ago, he had a nice ice-cold pop on the table. I took one sip. You can have it. Accomplished. Thank you. Hey, get out of other people's plates. Eat your own bread. Let me say this. Bread is a savory substance. Boy, I tell you, when you're hungry, bread tastes wonderful, doesn't it? My wife first started making homemade bread. We cheated. I bought her back in the day when it was real popular to make your own bread, I bought her a bread maker. And by the way, it makes great bread. I miss that thing. I don't know what happened to it. I mourn that thing every now and then. Oh, Lord, where's the bread maker? I've looked for it high and low. I've looked for all over the house. I can't find it. And I don't know what she did with it, but it's gone. Pray for us. And because I could use it. I mean, all you do is you throw the ingredients in it. You made a little divot inside the middle of the flour, whatever it was. You put the liquid in there, and you push go. Hey, even dumb guys like me can do that. But she learned how to set the timer on that thing. And so it'd go off early in the morning, and about 5 o'clock, it'd be almost done. You know how a hungry guy wakes up to the smell of fresh bread? I mean, you know, when there is no smell, you wake up, you're like, rawr, rawr. When there's smell of fresh bread, I'm hungry. Almost like an angry hungry. Where's the bread? Get it out. Quick. Hurry. What bread is savory. We used to take that. Now, one thing about a bread maker, it makes good, the butts of the bread, you know, they're the best. The top part, now the bottom, you can have the bottom part. I care less about that part, that piece. But the top of that bread on that bread maker, man, you cut that thing off, it's about that thick, piping hot. You put butter on that baby, real butter that's melted, and maybe some jelly or whatever you want to do. And that's a sandwich. That's a piece of toast. That's a piece of bread. It's savory. And the Lord says this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey, you know why some folks don't taste the Lord? See that he's good? Because you're not very hungry. Not very hungry. Boy, when you get hungry, some of you folks know what it means to be hungry spiritually, and God becomes awful tasty. God becomes awful good. In your dark hours, in your lonely hours, in your heartache hours, he becomes mighty good. So bread is a savory substance. Lastly, and we'll be finished, bread is a superior substance. Remember old Esau? Come in from hunting? Hungry. And the Bible says that he sold his birthright for a piece of bread and a pottage of lentils. Because he was hungry. Man will give anything when they're hungry. Bread because of great value. Jesus Christ is the best of all blessings. John 6:32 says, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Jesus Christ is the superior substance. He's all you need. God says this, if you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what does it profit? Nothing compares to the bread of life, the bread of heaven. And so here's my thought tonight. My plea, my heart tonight is this. When folks leave our church, they're backslidden, what do they need to hear? There's bread at the house of God still. Hey, my boys aren't perfect. And my boys have struggled in their teenage years. And I want my boys always here. You know what? Down at the old church house where dad pastors, there's still bread there. They're still eating down there. God's still blessing down there. I'm still welcome down there. I think of the folks who have left our church since I've been the pastor. Not in 12 years, not a whole lot. And I know that sometimes we leave and we burn bridges. And I hope the best, really I hope the best for them. But can I just say this, and I hope you don't mind me mentioning names. I hope that Chris Curran always will hear. I love Chris Curran to me was like a brother many times. And I hope he hears that, hey, there's still bread down there at the house of God. Not a bunch of fighting and bickering and drama. It's none of my business, but I hope that Jenna Hertz hears there's bread down there. I hope that Emma Tigas hears, hey, down at the old house of God, where I grew up at, there's still bread down, they're still eating down there, good. Not this drama business. You see, folks, when we complain and bellyache about things that don't matter a whole lot, it might offend the faith of somebody else. I'm not saying cover up sin. I'm not saying hide business. I'm saying this, that, you know, by and large, my heart is this. The unsaved and the backslider needs to hear about Old Path Baptist Church, there's bread down there. When Naomi heard it, she said, I'm going back. Yeah. She said, I'm going to go back. 10 years. But when she heard, they're eating again, I'm going back. Tell you something, I never write anybody off. Never write anybody off. I want them to hear, there's bread down there. What would you rather have them hear? They close the doors? Some of you kind of give me a funny look like I'm talking outside of my head. What would you rather hear? Would you rather hear that they went liberal? How about, oh, Pastor Mass, he messed up, had an affair with somebody. Would you rather have him hear that? I'm probably being a smart aleck, but I think there's sometimes there's church folks that would glory in coming that stupid news. We get more excited, talk more about when preachers mess up and somebody messes up in the church house than we hear when God's feeding people down there. And I want to be the kind of guy that glories in the fact that God is still feeding his people at Old Paths Baptist Church. Tonight I'm not trying to pick on anybody or get on anybody's case. If I've rang your bell, then that's fine. But people need to hear in this place. Still, you know what Luke needs to hear? Here's a guy that's battling his own demons. He don't need ours. You know, a guy like Luke doesn't want any more drama in his life. He's got a wife and a bunch of girls. He don't need any more drama in his life. My soul. He's like, what do I need that for? I can just stay home. You know what he needs to hear? He needs to hear his wife come home and say, man, there's bread down in the house of God. And his daughters say, yeah, I got fed too. That's what he needs to hear. So tonight, I know I'm being personal. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yep. Anyway, that's my heart tonight. Let's stand. We'll go home. I think that sometimes come March, come this winter months, we get a little bit antsy, get a little depressed, we start acting crazy. Listen, don't be bipolar. Okay? Don't be psycho. Okay? It's going to get better. Sun's coming out. It's going to get warmed up. God's still on his throne. We're still doing okay. But my heart is this, and I know that I'm not the perfect pastor, and I know that you guys could do way better for a pastor, but my heart really is this. That when people hear about our church, they hear that God is still visiting his people. There's still bread at the house of God at the Old Paths Baptist Church. Now what Grace does and Bible Baptist does, I pray that God will bless them. But that's not my domain. That's not my wheelhouse. This is my church. This is my where God's placed me. This is where I love. And this is where I want God to feed our people right here. Lord, today we come to you this evening. Thank you, Father.